The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And so it was a high-risk pregnancy, and I was in the hospital by myself, and I was on my knees in a pile of in a pool of blood in the bathroom floor, and I met him. I saw him. I saw the Lord.
Entrepreneur and TV personality Kim Gravel shares how a near-death experience reshaped her perspective and gave her purpose. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. And it's going to be a good day today,
you
Randy.
Sure?
Yes.
Are you confident?
I am confident. We're so glad that you're here with us at Life Today. And I'm so glad that Kim Gravel is here with us as well. Like, when I started looking into her as a guest,
yes.
I was like, man, she looks so familiar.
Yeah.
Like, how do I know this girl? So I started digging into it. I mean, she's like reality show queen, QVC.
Is that how you know her? You buy a lot of stuff on TV?
I did. I bought a pressure washer once on QVC. It's still working today.
Good.
But yeah, I mean, she's got her own line of clothing and makeup and doing all the things.
Oh, yeah.
And I started reading the book, and I got so much out of this book, Randy. Like, I was like, I love this woman so much. Her testimony, her walk with God, her faith, the confidence that God has built in her life. She's written a book called Collecting Confidence. It's one you're gonna wanna get. I wanna start out this way before I introduce her. This is one of my favorite things that she says. I wrote it down. It says, life is hard, God is good, and people are crazy. Kim Gravel.
And I'm speaking about myself when I say that. It's
true. There's so much truth in that.
Thank y'all for having me. Can I just say, just kick it off, this is the show. I'm so blessed to be here because I have been watching Life Today for decades. Mm. For decades. Mm. I mean, and what a testament to how good God is and how enduring his message is through you guys. I just want to say that straight up.
Yes.
Big fan. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, thank
Amen.
You for that. And
sure
I had
you.
The privilege that Tammy didn't of talking to you online.
Yeah.
And getting to know you. And I just, she read the book and said, oh, we got to have her. And I said, well, I talked
yeah.
to her. Our audience needs to hear her because
oh, yes.
what you're sharing is so fundamental. And it's right where a lot of people live. And they look at you and they think, oh, she's successful. She's got to have it all together. But yet you say, you know, hey, there's something missing if it's just, you know, the world's accolades.
Well, I've had a crisis of confidence just being here for 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, every second is up and down. I mean, you know, because our confidence is not based on, you know, what we do or what we accomplish. I'm a type A person for sure. So,
shocker.
You know, right? You can relate, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, your confidence comes from the Lord. And it's taking me, what, 52 years? To really come to grips with what that means. And we're living in a time, and I get emotional talking about it because I have two teenage kids, and I just see so much hurt in the world and people searching like never before. Mm-hmm. And we know what they're searching for. They're searching for the Lord. They're searching for that deep, intimate relationship with Him. That's the only way we can have true confidence. But if you go tell people that, you know, because I'm in the world, not of it. I'm not in full-time ministry as traditional ministry would be.
Right.
You know, I'm on QVC. I'm doing reality TV. I help a lot of young people that might not understand what that means.
Yeah.
To have your confidence in the Lord. So
what
I wanted to write a book, you know, to
yes.
kind of explain that
yes.
journey for me.
Yeah. Tell me, what does that mean for someone that's like, I don't know, I've lost my confidence. It's too late for me to
right.
be confident.
Oh gosh, I hear that all the time.
Right, or it's too late for me to have purpose in my life. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know what confidence, where does confidence start in somebody's life if they're just struggling today to even know who they are?
Well, this is what I would say to start. First of all, get quiet and it sounds, some people say, well, okay, Kim, get quiet and have your quiet time, be with the Lord. But I mean that in a real way. And it doesn't have to be this traditional way that we do it. It might be 5 minutes in the car, you know, picking up your grandkids through the you know, drive-through line at the school. Get quiet and ask Him this question. Lord, what do you have for me? And not in the bigger sense. We all know we're here as believers to share the gospel and to praise and serve Him. Specifically, what do you have me to do?
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest question people have, because when I go around and I speak, and even like on TV, I'm on live TV weekly, 5 to 7 hours weekly on live TV, and that's the number one thing I get. I say to people, how many of you believe you have a purpose? Everybody raises their hand, 100%, hands down, 100%. All right, put them down. How many of you know what that is? And it's crickets. You could hear a pin drop.
Wow.
No one has that answer, but God does. Jesus does, and He has one for us. And when I decided to seek Him in those still, quiet moments, He didn't show me all at once, because if He did, I'd be like, I can't do that. I mean, He revealed it slowly. And then my confidence in walking with Him and in Him became, I don't even know how to say it, just unshakable.
Yeah.
When did that start for you? Like, I know you have a backstory because I read your book and it's so, so good, but I don't think you are a girl that, it sounded like you had confidence at one point in your life and then it was almost being stripped from your life through different voices in your life.
Yeah.
And you had to find that again. What was that season like for you?
It was rocky. It was full of doubt and full of mess, full of mistakes. But in that weakness, I found my strength in Him. And it was a pivotal, there's been so many times that God has so gently reminded me, but there was one time He really brought me literally to my knees. And it was when I gave birth to my youngest son. And I was an older parent. I was 38 when I had my second child. And so it was a high risk pregnancy. And I say all that to say, I was in the hospital by myself. And long story short, got to get the book and read it, but I was on my knees in a pool of blood in the bathroom floor. Mm. And I met Him. Mm. I saw Him. I saw the Lord. And it changed my whole perspective. I'd walked with God for so many years. And always been a good girl. Always been a good Christian girl. But at this point I knew, oh, this is so much bigger than me. This is so much bigger than my child. You know this, Tammy.
Yes, I do.
You know this, Randy. You know.
Yes.
I felt Him in a real way. And y'all, when I had that experience, I didn't say to myself, oh, I just want to hug my kids one more time, or I want to see my husband. When I was coming out of that and God said, you know what, it's not your time. I said, but I don't want to leave you. He said, you're going back. And all this was happening like in a swirl. And I remember saying, why? Why? Why do you want me to go back? That's the question. Why? Why are you here? It's got to be bigger than just family. Mm. Y'all, I'm serious. And I might ruffle a few feathers because family's so important.
Sure.
But the family of the body of Christ and the family of God is so much bigger.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe I'm getting a little preachy, so just shut me down.
No, this is good. Here's my question, because we're all broken to some degree.
Of course.
And it takes oftentimes some really hard circumstances for us to admit that.
Absolutely.
But we lack confidence because we know we've made mistakes.
Mm.
We know we're a mess. We know we're broken. And we think God can't do anything with that. Isn't that sort of one of the biggest lies we could ever buy into? But that's why we say our confidence is in Him, because it's not in us, right?
Yeah.
How did God handle your mess, your brokenness?
Oh gosh, what a great, so insightful the question. And I am a big old mess every single day. Like, there's nothing about me that has it together. Nothing. I'm just 1,000%. People say, oh, Kim, you're so, nothing, not one thing. I'm always making messes. Just made a big mess with my kids last night. But I have learned to just let God take that and use it. You know, He works all things together for the good, and for those who love Him. And I believe that, but I think He does even so much more. I mean, I don't even think we can understand the depth of how He knows we're going to mess up. I mean, He knows I am broken. He knows I'm a mess, but He knows He's confident enough in what He can do through that mess through me.
Yes.
And that's where I lean on. That's what I remind myself of.
At the same time, that can't be an excuse.
True.
Right?
True.
Right? So there,
true.
I know.
So, and I've used it, by the way.
Right, I know. But I know from your story that God has done a lot of transformation in your life.
Yeah.
What has that looked like?
it's been a slow and steady process. You know, I've had a lot of makeovers, literally, you know, physically and spiritually. But the beautiful thing about those transformations, Randy, is that he's so faithful. He's always there. Mm-hmm. I'm not always there, but he is. And every time I'm going through this growth period, and you know what I mean, you know, when you got to be stretched, he stretches you, he challenges you, he does all of those things like working out your muscle, your faith muscle. But he's through all those transitions, through all those transformations, he's there. And I guess I've had so many that now I just trust it.
Yeah.
I've had so many.
Yeah.
And I think, and then I want to say this too, because I say this in the book, and everybody has. There's always been that thread of transformation in our lives. But a lot of times we don't stop and remember or recognize it.
Right, right. Well, and to your point of confidence, when we know that he is shaping us.
Yeah.
Conforming us to the image of Christ, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Once you become a believer, you know, the maturity is that we are the clay. He's the potter.
Yeah.
He's conforming us to the image of Christ. And that's where I think we can be confident that, okay, as long as I'm allowing him to shape me, the mistakes are going to happen. I don't want them. I don't live there, but I allow him to take them and shape us. And that's what I hear so much of you saying.
Yeah. And I got to quote my mother, because I grew up in a very, you know, my grandfather was a minister. My dad was a PK kid, so fill in the blanks there. And then my mom, and you know, we've grown up in the church.
What are you saying?
That's a whole nother book.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother book. nothing intended there.
I totally get it.
But you know what I'm saying. So like we've been in, my I say this all the time, my family were tobacco farmers and preachers, so my whole foundation is in the church and in the dirt. I mean, that's how I grew up. So faith has always been this bedrock of me, but it was through the mess that it became tangible, that it became almost tactile. My faith became so alive. And so when you've experienced something in a real way and you've experienced him in a real way over and over and over again, we just have to remind ourselves, and everybody listening, my daddy always says to me, if you're not dead, you ain't done.
Right.
If you're not 6 feet under, he's still got you. I mean, my mother is 76 and the best model for our brand that we could ever have. I mean, come on now. I mean, he can use anything, and we'll use everyone if we're willing.
And he wastes nothing.
Come on.
And that's part of when I think you waste nothing, even in the mistakes, even in the pain. That's part, to me, if we lean into it and learn from it, if we're willing to learn from the mistakes, that's part of collecting the confidence, knowing from whom our confidence comes from ultimately. And if you're steady on that, then even to me in the mistakes, God teaches us things. And, you know, there's something, Kim, you said in your book, and it goes back to talking about brokenness. But I'm going to flip that for a second because you said something in your book that resonated with me. And it says, you're not broken.
Mm-mm.
You don't need fixing.
Mm-mm.
You're not, like, you don't outgrow God's plan for your life.
Mm-mm.
And so, yes, I believe that there's times in my life when I've been broken. There's times in my life when I probably said, I'm broken. And yet the reality is I have heard the voice of God say, no, you're not. You don't need fixing. You need a different confidence in this. Stop speaking this over your life. You are not broken. You are healthy. You are healed. You've come on the other side of the brokenness.
Yeah.
Now step out in the confidence. And so sometimes I think so many of us want to stay in the identity of the brokenness because it's familiar. It's what we know. It's what we think we deserve.
It's comfortable.
And we don't need anything more. But God has more. And I think that when we start to tap into that and that confidence that he has within us, we can overcome anything in our lives. We are capable of so much more than we believe we are. Just like you in your life, when you went to that apartment, you started painting those walls, that Pepto-Bismol pink, and
great
said,
pink. I love pink.
Right? It's the best.
It's the best.
But you were like, you were almost at rock bottom, but you begin to build something even in the brokenness that you felt, and you came on the other side, and look at where your life is today.
The brokenness is, when I say we don't need fixing, I specifically thought and heard for myself that I needed to fix and clean up and do what I needed to do to come back to him. I'd made so many mistakes.
Yes.
And the Lord spoke to me just in that still small voice. He said, I've already fixed it, honey.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't outfix me.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, and I talk real talk. You know, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not a highly educated person.
You seem smart to me, girl.
I know what I know.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, you don't need fixing because he's already fixed it.
He is the fix.
He's okay. The fix.
I'll give you the 22nd Hebrew lesson. There's actually two different words that we translate as brokenness, okay? One of them is a brokenness, which is complete ruin. No value, nothing.
Good.
And that's what the enemy comes to us and says, you're broken, you're ruined, you're done.
Yes.
Then there's the godly brokenness where we say, God, I'm empty of myself. Mm-hmm. The contrition is the better word, right? That's the brokenness that we come to that he goes, I am the fix. Now you're fixed. Now you're whole. But we have to bring that to him. And that's what I see you going through in your life.
It's the shame,
and all the
things though. Why do we have the shame?
Well, that's a lie, too.
You a question.
That's a lie, too.
Why do we have the shame?
That's the lie.
Okay.
That's the lie. Because he says, it's covered. Leave it at the cross, you can leave it behind. Because he is the cure for the brokenness. And that's where our confidence comes from, right?
So good.
We collect it, all through Scripture.
Book two is me and you. I'm telling you, because that you're so right.
Yeah.
It's in our weakness. It's in the weaker we are, the stronger he is.
Right.
Yes.
I just know for me, I can only speak from my own personal walk. I mean, when I try to be strong, it never works out.
So here's a question that you discussed in the book, and I thought it was very important because given our age group, you know, how do we convey this to our children, to our grandchildren? How do we leave that legacy of confidence in the Lord?
Well, it's a good question because I think today there's so many people clamoring, you know, the clanging cymbals. There's so many clamoring for our children's attention and for our grandchildren's attention. And I think we have to be it. Mm. I think there's a lot of talk, and talk is cheap. It's the walk that they watch. Mm-hmm. And so for the best thing I could ever do for my kids and we can do for our children and our nieces and nephews and is to walk in that full confidence of who Jesus is. And I will tell you, I just had it was homecoming. My son didn't have a date. He's going to go by himself. I can't believe I'm telling all your business, honey. Sorry. But he really wanted a homecoming date. He wanted one. And I said, well, let's pray about it. He goes, Mom, God doesn't care about my homecoming. I said, sure he does.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, sure he does.
Yep.
He still don't have the homecoming date. It's Saturday, but I believe. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we have to walk that out, I think, for the young people. Mm. It's hard, though, because I cannot tell you the things that come for these kids. It's not like you got to go seek it now. He is seeking whom he may devour. He's coming for him.
Yes.
But he ain't going to get them.
No.
He's not going to get them.
No.
We're going to be that. We're going to be that confident body. We're going to be that confident in Christ voice.
Yes. And, you know, part of that, too, to me, is that statement that you make. I've read this in the book, like being careful of your I am statement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so many of us can get caught up in the I am this, I am that. But who does God say you are?
My dad, I love my daddy. Yeah, we just real talk people. And I just had my first child and I had gained like 50 pounds. And I was just like, I feel so fat and gross. And I was at him and he goes, oh, I was crying, you know. And he said, oh, girl, you're not a fat girl. You're just living like one.
I love that.
I was looking at him. You know, he's like, oh, told you, he's real talk. But I knew it was a light bulb moment for me. We're not broke. We're living like it. We're not lost. What we're looking at is what we're living like.
Yeah.
When you look at him, it's so funny how our circumstances are. Everything changes.
It does.
You cannot help but be healed and whole walking with Christ.
Because it's his wholeness. It's not mine. It's his.
Yeah.
That's it. I love it. I love your message.
Thank you so much.
The book. If people want to follow up, you know, they can go to your website and stuff. But I'll tell you what, Tammy.
So good.
I'd love to put this in people's hands
today.
Yeah,
let's do it.
If they'll help us walk the walk.
Yes, we need your help for sure. And look, I want you to take just a minute and watch this. There's something really special and important that we together get to be a part of. Watch this.
So we're here in rural Angola, and we've been talking to you about the drought that has ravaged this area. Not a one-year drought, not a two-year drought, 5 years of drought. 5 years they've not had enough rainfall to grow a single crop. If you look here, you'll see what's left of this farm is just dry remnants of a crop that used to be. How has the drought affected your ability to, the lack of rain affected your ability to be able to farm?
A falta de chuva, primeiro essa seca que nós cultivamos, todo o milho mesmo secou, não colhemos mesmo nada. Assim tem já que fechar a porta para dormir, para as crianças não saírem, senão vai nos vizinhos e pedir comida. Tem que dormir cedo. Tem que dormir mesmo cedo, sim.
Wow. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sinto muito por essa situação.
Oh, sorry, mom. Oh, I'm sorry, man. What's wrong? Sam, I'm sorry, mommy. I know that she would provide for her children. Give her half a chance. Just give her the rain that she needs and she'll cultivate that land. She will work herself as hard as she has to work to provide for those children. But it never rains anymore, is what she said. 5 years of drought. I hope you feel like I do, and if you do, then I'm asking you to please say yes. I'm going to be a part of bringing food and changing this situation for this mother, for her child, so that she doesn't have to close the door early anymore before they go to bed hungry.
Isaac, I do feel like you feel. I do want to help. And I know that there are so many watching today that feel the same way when you see a piece like that and just think, what can I do to help? And is it even reachable? Is it doable? And the beautiful thing is, it absolutely is. This bowl right here is life-changing, life-giving. I would love to send a different story to that mama that says, keep the doors wide open. There's enough for you. There's enough for your neighbors. There's enough for that entire village. So we can do that if we come together today. We can do that, not just for her, but so many other children, so many other families. Would you help us today fill this bowl? Fill it and more and more and more so that we can go out and change the world one life at a time. It's completely doable. Right now, Randy, we are feeding every day 350,000 children.
Right.
It's amazing, but there's so many more that need this food. And so we have a vision. We've got it all in place, but it's going to take you to join with us.
Right. And the only reason we can feed 350,000 children every day is because viewers like you have made it possible, and we need to continue. As you saw there, the drought is ongoing, and there are other situations in other countries where we do the mission feeding, as you've seen, Tammy, where you find children who are going to bed hungry.
Yeah.
And we just believe no child should ever go to bed hungry. And I know that happens here in the United States and in Canada, Australia. In these areas where we're talking about, you've got parents who have worked their whole lives to provide what little they can. And now something has happened to where even that hard work doesn't pay off. It's not neglect. That child could maybe go ask the neighbors for food, and the neighbors probably won't have any food either. It's what we call abject poverty. And it's into this difficult situation, this hopeless situation, that viewers like you have brought hope over the years. And we want to continue. Will you make a gift today towards Mission Feeding that will enable this to continue, to help for however it longs to get these children out of the state of malnutrition that they're in so that they can return to school and maybe, you know, sometimes helping with the harvest when it does come in. Here's how it works. A gift today of $30 will help feed three children for the next 3 months. A gift of $50 will help feed five children for the next 3 months. $100, 10 children. You see how it works. And it only works that way because we have the people and the processes in place that we've developed over the years. And when we go in with that bowl of food, of nourishment, we go in with the love of Jesus Christ. We feed their bodies and we feed their souls. Many of you can make a $1,000 gift today and feed 100 children for the next 3 months. Maybe 3,000, 5,000, 10, whatever it is God puts on your heart. The important thing is a response. You see a need, it's very real. You are the solution. Will you respond today? I pray that you will.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering. facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the brand new Life Planner. Bound in soft touch leather, this planner will help you with your daily walk with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the God's Promise Serving Bowl. This beautiful and versatile ceramic bowl is decorated with 2 Corinthians 9:8 and will make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So many people have answered the call, and we are feeding so many children. We have to continue. We can only do it with your support. So I pray you'll do the best that you can today. And when you do, be sure to request Kim's book, Collecting Confidence. I know it will bless people
today. It's going to totally bless you. You have blessed us today.
Oh, I love y'all. Thank y'all for having
me. I love you. Thanks for being here.
Y'all the best.
Thanks for loving Jesus. Thanks for staying in. Oh, I've got a treat for you. I bought you this. For if there's ever a time in your life where you just want to go back to the simpler days, just be reminded that God is in every moment, in every detail of your life. Kim, here's some Pepto-Bismol.
I absolutely.
The color Pepto-Bismol.
This is just making my, this has just made the whole book tour ever. Good night. Thank you. Amen. This is so good.
You're going to have to request the book to get that joke. But we appreciate you guys. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you again next time on Life Today.
For 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Call now to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love to a world in need.
For those of you who think your kids are lost, and you think, Lord, I don't even know where they are, God is on the move.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.